Good morning. Greetings in the Savior's name. It's a blessing to be here this morning and gather this way. Just an encouragement to our soul and a strength to our soul to gather and hear the Word of God, sing together, and be encouraged together. The last song says, "We have an anchor that secures our soul." When the battles and the storms of life hit us, we're secure. We're safe. We're anchored in Christ. I think we are. Are we? Are we? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Praise the Lord. This morning we are anchored. It's blessed to be here this morning already and encouraged with what Brother Levi shared in the true way. We'll kind of touch on some of that this morning here as well, and it's foundational for, I believe, for the rest of the message here. And also was really encouraged and blessed with the children's lesson, and is also a lesson for us adults. If we are safe and secure in the environment that Christ has placed around us, and in the environment of Christ, it is comforting. It is safe. The enemy can't get us, as it were. But yet, there's something within us that longs to go out and experience more and have more. And it is that Adamic nature within us. But when we get outside the cage, things get scary. Things get scary. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you. This morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us and teach us. Lord, we know that your word says that the Spirit of God, it teaches us and convicts us of sin and righteousness. Lord, we ask that you would do that this morning for us. Be with us and guide us. Lord, pray that you would guide my words, my thoughts, and pray that we would be able to hear and understand what you have for us. Pray that your power would rule from on high. Lord, we want to bring you glory and honor in whatsoever we do. And I pray, God, that our Christian life would be, and that we would be encouraged in our Christian life as we go forward, that we'd be able to do that, and to glorify you and draw men to you, not to ourselves, Lord, but we need your help and your grace and strength to do that. Pray, Lord, that your blessings would be with this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We'll look at a couple verses here, which is going to be the text, the foundation for the rest of the morning here. John chapter 10, the first five verses. Here's a parable that Jesus gave about the shepherd, and as he gave this parable, he gave different elements of it, different parts, different pieces. And we'll read the first five verses and go from there. John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." We'll pause. We'll stop there. There's many other aspects that Jesus taught. He taught about the door, and he taught about the wolf and the hireling, different parts of this, and he gave different aspects. And later on, then, from verse 8 and on, he kind of explains that. But there's one point that he doesn't explain, that we have to maybe put some thought to it ourselves. And that's what we want to do this morning. The title is The Voice of Strangers. He doesn't cover the voice of the stranger. He talks about the voice, about the sheep following him and knowing his voice. But the voice of strangers is not repeated there. The voice of strangers. What's the voice of strangers? What does he mean by that? We are left to our own imagination, perhaps just a little bit, but there, we do have understanding from the scripture. There's two voices that Jesus talks about in these five verses. He talks about the voice of the shepherd, and he talks about the voice of strangers. What's the voice of strangers? How does that look in practical everyday life to us? What does that mean to us? You know, we could think that, okay, the voice of the shepherd, that might be like a preacher, maybe, and then the voice of a stranger is a false preacher. We're left a little bit to our own imagination. Maybe that's what it means. It could. I don't necessarily think it does. The voice of strangers. Are we listening to the voice of strangers? How do we know? What is the voice of the stranger? The voice of the shepherd is fairly easy to understand. It comes in various forms. The voice of the shepherd might come to us in the Word of God, in reading the Bible. That could be the voice of one way that the voice of the shepherd comes to us, because he said that the sheep hear his voice. We as Christians, we are his sheep, and we hear his voice. How do we hear his voice? Do you ever hear the voice of the shepherd? Did the shepherd ever talk to you, come up maybe one day and just have a conversation? Generally not in the way that we're used to. You know, I meet one of you and we have a conversation and we talk. But he said the sheep hear my voice. So I think that one way the voice of the shepherd comes is through the Word of God or through the Bible. Another way that we hear the voice of the shepherd is through prayer. Maybe we are praying and we hear God respond to us in prayer. It might not be an audible voice, but there's that still small voice that comes to us. So through prayer, sometimes we hear the voice of the shepherd. Maybe not every day. I that's not really my experience. But we press on by faith in prayer, and sometimes we know that God is speaking to us. Perhaps God is convicting us of something. We know that God's saying to us, that is not what you did yesterday was wrong. That's not right. That's the voice of the shepherd. That's when the shepherd is speaking to us. Also, sometimes the voice of the shepherd comes to us in song. How many this morning were blessed with one song or another? Just a little phrase of a song. Anybody had a blessing? You know what that was? That was the voice of the shepherd that was talking to you. The voice of the shepherd was saying this and whatever it was. And either we were encouraged, or we were convicted, or we were, yes, I'm going to go on. Those are little phrases, little bits of songs where the voice of the shepherd, he comes to us. It might be through sermons, through preaching. Maybe as you're listening, maybe this morning we heard this story of the children's lesson and the cat out of the cage, and we say, yeah, that's us. You know, we do want to get out of this cage, but now we're outside of the cage and all of a sudden things are scary and we get defensive. We start saying things and we snarl and we claw away at people. That's who we are. Well, that's the shepherd. He was talking to me and to you this morning. It's through preaching, through messages like that. Another way that we hear the voice of the shepherd is through other believers. Maybe it's even just a conversation between believers, and we are convicted or encouraged or blessed, or something has spoken through us through other believers. Maybe another believer comes to us directly and says, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, what about this? Have you thought about that?" That's the voice of the shepherd. That's not just a man speaking to a man. That is God speaking to a person. Say, "You should go talk to that brother. You should." I saw it happen this week, and on the field trip. I saw that happen. It was a blessing. The voice of the shepherd was talking through an other believer. God uses human instruments. See, God is not here in this earth. I don't see God this morning. I don't see the shepherd this morning. He's not. Yes, he is here. But we don't see him. We don't see the shepherd. But yet the shepherd speaks through other believers. We are the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece and the ears of the shepherd this morning. So we hear. God uses people. That's how we hear the voice and voice of the shepherd. Another way that we hear the voice of the shepherd is through the Holy Spirit. It tells us in, I believe it is in John, where the Spirit of God, it comes to, yes, it's towards the end of John here. He convicts and he draws people. That's what the Spirit of God lifts up Christ. And that is the shepherd. That's the voice of the shepherd is working through the Spirit of God in a still small voice to us. So it is fairly easy, or maybe not necessarily easy, but it is readily understood what the voice of the shepherd is and how the shepherd communicates to us. But what's this voice of the stranger? What is that? How do we know if we are hearing the voice of the stranger or the voice of a shepherd? You know, we hear voices. We hear voices all around us. As we go through life, there's voices. There's many voices speaking to us in various ways. We're going to look at some this morning. The voice of strangers is a bit more confusing. The shepherd's voice is never confusing. The shepherd's voice is always clear. It is always decisive. It is always clear. But the voice of strangers, it's sometimes confusing. What is truth? And what is not? You know, sometimes strangers mix truth and untruth together. And it's a little bit hard to sort things out. What is truth and what is not truth? You know, years ago, when I was working in Omaha, there was one of my coworkers. He was telling me one morning about all these terrible things that the Amish do. And, okay, it's interesting. So I listened on. And he was just going on about this and that. And I said, now, wait a minute. Where did you find out? You live here in the middle of Omaha. Where did you find out about the Amish? Oh, he was listening to this, watching this certain movie. And it's a movie about the Amish. And he was telling me about this. And I had to tell him, I'm sorry. And this is actually a Christian man had high regards for. So I'm sorry. You are confused. What you were seeing and hearing there is not true. It is straight up not true. I have lived in Amish communities or close by Amish communities for most of my life. And what you are hearing is not true. And he was upset. He was almost offended. I said, you know, listen, movies are about drama. It's about excitement. And they don't care if it's a truth or a lie. Some of the stuff he was saying was true, but some of it was just straight out a lie. It was just confusing. I had to tell him what he was hearing was not reality. It is just unreal. But sometimes these voices that we hear and listen to do the same thing for us. We are convinced of a certain thing. We are convinced of it. Because of what we heard or what somebody told us. It might have not been through a movie. I doubt it was. But we are just convinced that this one certain thing is true. And yet, we got it from a voice of a stranger somewhere. There might be not all truth mixed in this. So what is a voice of a stranger? How do we discern if these voices that we hear are not lying, just simply lying to us? A voice that is 99% truth and 1% untruth is 100% deceitful. Let me say that again so we for sure get that. A voice that is 99% truth and 1% lie is 100% deceitful. 100% deceitful. And there are many voices like that out there today. There are many voices that we have to be aware of, brothers and sisters, and especially in this digital age where it is easy to access all kinds of information, it is very important that we know for sure that these voices that are we are listening to are truth? Or is just a smidgen of it untruth? And if it's just a smidgen is not true, is it okay to listen to that voice and pick out the bones and spit them out and listen to the good part and hopefully the bad stuff doesn't influence us? Is that good? Is that all right? I'll just leave that hanging there. Sometimes it may be, or sometimes it may not be. Matthew 24:4 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And I find this an interesting verse. If he is saying, take heed that no man deceive you, then there is a possibility that that could happen. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. But it is a real possibility, and it is possible that that can happen, that men can deceive us. And Jesus is telling his disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. This is in the context of he's coming back again, and the disciples are asking, what's going to happen? You know, what are all the signs and all these things that are going to happen? He said, first of all, beware that no man deceive you. So in this topic about end times and what things are going to happen, there are going to be deceivers out there. And their deceivers are out there already. Let's turn to Amos chapter 7 and verse 7. Amos is one of those hard-to-find books. It's Hosea, then it's Joel, then it's Amos, then Obadiah. So as you're paging through and find some of those books, you might find them. Joel, Amos, chapter 7, verse 7. This is a vision that God is showing to Amos, but this is this very neat little verse tucked in here that I like. This is the Lord talking. And thus he showed me, being Amos, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. Now, I wish I had a plumb line. I'm not a carpenter anymore. I don't think I ever had a plumb line. But a plumb line is this little thing about yay long and about this big around, inch around. It's got a point on it. And on the top, you can attach a string. And if I hold a string here, imagine, it might look like this, except it's not going to be plumb if I make it. So you got a string coming down, and then there's this thing here, and it's got a point to it. And if you let this thing dangle, this point here and this point here are going to be 100% level. It's one of God's laws that does not lie. It is just 100% level. And so if I'm at the top of a wall and I hold this plumb line, and I put it down alongside the wall, I can tell if that mason did a good job or not. It will tell me 100%. And we have a plumb line in life to determine if the voice of a stranger, this person that is not among us all the time maybe, is true or is not true. And I can see if there's a wall alongside here, let's use a different color, and I have these bricks here. I'm just going to kind of crudely draw them in. And if I can see if there's one kind of out of line here. And because this plumb line will quickly tell me that there's a portion of this wall that is not in sync with the rest. We can do that the same thing with what we hear, what the voice of a stranger tells us. If we use the Word of God as a plumb line, we can quickly say that is not true. So that is how we determine whether the voice of a stranger is accurate to us, whether it's lying to us. The voice of the shepherd is our plumb line, and the voice of the shepherd is the Word of God. It is our plumb line. If what we are listening to does not line up with the Word of God, then God says those voices are deceiving us. If what we are listening to does not line up with the Word of God, then that what we are listening to, according to God, is deceiving us. It's not true. And we must reject it. We must cast it out. We're going to get a little bit practical here and look at some of these voices that are with me right now. Up to now, I've kind of been general, vague. What are these voices? We're going to look at these voices, and we're going to determine by the word of God, are they accurate? Are they not accurate? These voices come in and they affect us. We are affected by what we are told by other people and things we listen to. Like I said earlier, especially in this digital age where it's so easy to consume stuff. At the push of a button, whether it's on our phones, whether it's on the computer, whether it's on the tape or CD player in our car, whatever it is, you just hit a button and all of a sudden things are blasting out words to you. And who is saying these words? Where do these voices come from? Sometimes we don't know. Some of these voices come from within us. They come from within us. Others of these voices come from outside of us. And we're going to look at six different aspects of things that come from within us. And then we want to look at six different aspects of things that come from without us. And so let's hear some of these voices. Let's see what they say. Voices from within us. Some of these, actually, I said the voices that come from within come from our own flesh sometimes, our own self. Some of these voices come from Satan. Satan wants to influence us. Satan wants to lead you astray. That's what he's out to do. He's out to kill and to steal and to destroy. So some of these voices come from Satan. He speaks to us. We would have examples of the Bible where, in fact, Satan was in that business a long time ago, back in Genesis 3. He was using a voice to influence Eve and then Adam also. So some of these voices come from our own flesh. Here's one. I can never be good enough. Okay, let's ask the question. Is this from the shepherd or is this from stranger? What do you think? Stranger, yes. It may be partly true. Here's this thing where it may be most of the line is straight, but the brick is out. Yes, it is partly true. Romans 7:18 says, "For the I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So in our own flesh, in our own strength, we can never be good enough. But if we are saying that because we are saying it in a self-condemning or pitying way, that voice within us comes, that might be Satan saying, you can never be good enough. Or it might be just to me trying to measure up myself among you. And I look at a brother out there and say, you know what? That brother is exemplary. I can never be good enough. Then we're comparing ourselves among themselves, and it is the flesh within me that is saying that. But in our flesh, we are not good. That is, in our unconverted state, we are not good. And even as Christians, if we try to live out our Christian life by ourselves, nothing good will come out of us. It isn't. But here's what the Bible says. Actually, turn there. Romans 15:14. This is a voice that happens to us. Romans 15:14. Paul is saying this, that I myself also am persuaded of you, brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. Here he's saying, Paul is saying, we are filled with goodness. In Ephesians 5:9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So according to God's word, we can be good, but it is only through Christ. To say we're not good enough, well, then we ask the question, good enough for who? You know? So there's one voice. It's just an example of a voice that can come out from within us and where we can feel heavy and dark and condemned. And yes, in our own flesh, we are not good enough. Let's look at another word here. It is no use to try. Is that from the shepherd or is that from the stranger? Stranger, that's right. For the Bible tells us in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and he rises up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. So the righteous man, he gets up again. Yes, it is worth to try. It is of good use to try. We will press on. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, this is just a little thing, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It is worth trying. It is worth getting up again. There's glory up ahead. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This current suffering that we have, brothers and sisters, it's just a small, short window of time. Glory is coming ahead. It is worth to try. For us to say that it is no use to try is either self-condemnation or self-pity or maybe just discouragement. We're playing so discouraged that I'm going to give up. It's no use. I'm not going to make it anyway. Throw in the towel. Give it up. Press on. That's the voice of a stranger. That's the voice of a stranger that is whispering in your ear. That voice comes from within. And Jesus is saying, the voice of a stranger, a Christian should not listen to. We should not listen to that voice. Here's another one. Nobody cares about me. Stranger or a shepherd? Stranger. This is from the stranger. That is not true, but God is our refuge and strength, the Bible tells us. God does care for you. God does care for you. But if you are looking to mankind to take care of all your needs, you might get disappointed because men are frail human beings. Men are fallible human beings. But if you look to the God of heaven, he is our refuge and strength. He cares about you. He cares and he knows everything about you. All right, here's another one that comes from within us sometimes. Life is not fair. Is that stranger or a shepherd? That's a little more difficult, isn't it? That's a fact. That is a fact. And that may not necessarily be a word straight from the shepherd. But it is true. Life is not fair. But God is just, even when the world is not. Let's never forget that. God is just, even when the rest of the world is not. We live in an unjust, wicked, fallen world. And we may be dealt a hand that is painful. And that is reality. But if you feel that life is not fair, you just spoke the truth. Life is not fair. There is no equity in life. There is nothing in life that is fair. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. So you have the rich and you have the, what does it say? That the you have the rich, the swift, the strong, the wise, the men of understanding. It's not fair. Life just happens to them all because we are in a fallen world. Even if life isn't fair, we are still required to be faithful. That is a fact. Even if life is not fair, we are still required to be faithful. Micah 6:8 agrees with this. It says, He has showed thee, O man, that what is good and what the Lord does require of thee, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That is just a statement from the Lord. Even though life is not fair and there's nothing equitable in life, we are still required to do justly and to walk humbly with our God. One day, life will be fair. Eternity will be fair. There's a time coming when there will be equity and fairness in the time to come. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, and former things are passed away. That is a time when life is fair. When this voice comes from within you that says life is not fair, it is not necessarily the voice of a stranger. Now, it can be the voice of Satan that is just trying to put you down. So you got a heavy load. It's not fair. You might as well just give it up. That's the voice of Satan speaking to you. Or it can be your own flesh, your wonder, wallowing in self-pity and say, this is not fair. You know, have you ever felt that way? Or why, God? You know, we all do that from time to time, where we just wallow in this despondency. That is the voice of the flesh. But God replies to us and says, yeah, that's true. Life isn't fair. You're living in a broken world. You're living in an unjust world that will never deal to you a fair hand. But we press on. God still requires us to be faithful. So that's one voice that we can identify fairly easily. Here's another one that comes within us sometimes. I am worthless or am no value. Shepherd or stranger? That is a stranger. That is not true. In Genesis 1:27, actually we have to turn there, right in the beginning here. Here's a verse that I really like when those thoughts of temptation come from within us. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. That's a simple verse that we all know. So if we are saying, I am no value, or I am worthless, and yet you are created in God's image, what are we saying? That's a scary place to be, because now we are almost, as it were, saying that God's image is of no value, or God's image is worthless. That would be blasphemy. Now, we don't mean that. We really don't mean that when we say that, or when we are in a time of despondency or just self-pity, or maybe Satan is saying to us, you have no value. You are worthless. That is not true, because we are created in God's image. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship. We are the handiwork of God. God made you and I who we are. We are his handiwork, and therefore we have value. Therefore, there's something of value with us. We are not worthless, because God created us in his handiwork. And he created us for a purpose that which God has ordained before that we should walk in them, in good works. God has ordained that we should walk in good works. He has so created us, we have value. So if you ever feel that you don't have value, or you don't have worth, that's the voice of a stranger. Yes, a stranger is trying to talk to you and bring you down. And we don't hear that voice. A Christian doesn't hear the voice of a stranger. We hear the voice of a shepherd. The shepherd says, I have created you in my image. I have created you that you are my personal handiwork. You know what a handiwork is? You know, sometimes ladies take these little patches and they embroider it, and it becomes a beautiful handiwork. That's who you are. God created you. He created you for his glory and for his purpose, for good works, and that we should walk in them. Here's another one. I am better than others are. That's also of a stranger. That's not from the shepherd. Sometimes we feel that way. Well, I can do things better. Well, if I did that job, I could have done a whole lot better. I am, you know, we don't mean it that way maybe, but yes, we do mean it. And it is pride. And pride is the voice of a stranger. It is not from the shepherd. And in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yes, we are no better. We do have gifts. We want to acknowledge that. We have gifts and talents. God gave us gifts and talents. God gave some of you gifts and talents, and you do things I couldn't do. And vice versa. Perhaps God has given me gifts and talents, and I do things that maybe you would have a challenge to do. That does not mean I'm better than you are. That does not mean that you are better than I am. God has placed all these gifts as he decided to in the church to use you and I as was his choosing. So let's be careful. Let's be careful that this voice of the stranger that wants to speak inside of us, inside our hearts, and mislead us. But then there's other voices that are from without. I'm really concerned about those voices and how they affect us and how we respond to those voices. We're going to look at several of them. One of them is music. Music is a powerful voice. It speaks to us, and the words influence us. The music we listen to greatly influences our lives and our choices. It is a voice that speaks to us, and it comes from without. And there are different types of music, and the different types of music affect us in a different way. For example, let's look at, say, rock music, pop music, rap music. Yes, we wouldn't listen to that. But that affects us very, very negatively because it is an avenue that Satan uses to speak directly into our lives. So we ask, how's that? Music like that often have lyrics of rebellion. Standing on your own, I'm going to do my thing and go my way. It's a rebellious type of music or words that come out. And that's a stranger that's talking to you. Now, maybe we say, well, we don't agree with it, but the stranger is talking to you. And he is talking to you. Now, the Bible tells us that rebellion is as the same as the sin of witchcraft. Now, we know the sin of witchcraft. The Bible tells clearly about the sin of witchcraft and what kind of demonic influences that has in our lives. But rebellious music, regardless what the genre is, does the same thing. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so that's the influence that it's having in our lives if we listen to that thing. But we might say, well, we will never listen to that. We will never listen to that. Okay, what about country music? Country music, we might say, yeah, that's a little different. Okay, but, you know, country music, all that it is, it talks about how bad life is and how much better it would be if we had, you know, maybe this other man or this other woman in our life and how great it would be to go party all night long and our troubles would all go away. Country music is full of lies. It is just simply full of lies. It is sensual. It is carnal. It is all about selfishness. Me, myself, and I, and how good of a life I can have or how good of a life I should have, how bad of a life I have right now, how bad of a life that things are going for me, and if I would just do this other thing and I could live it high and life would be good ever after. It is full of lies. It is selfishness. It is the voice of a stranger. Let's turn to Proverbs 5, verses 8 through 10. Familiar verse here, but we want to apply this directly to country music. Proverbs 5, verse 8 through 10. And it's talking about following after a strange woman, and a wicked woman. Verse 8, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Now we would never go into the house of a strange woman or man. We would never be that strange woman that entices. We would never do that. If we would never do that, why would we then listen to songs about that? Why would we do that? That is the stranger that is talking to us through this song, this type of singing. Why would we listen to those songs that are doing exactly those things that are right in here? That's the voice of a stranger. It's an outside influence that directly affects our life, and it numbs us down. It dulls us down. But we might say, well, we never listen to country music. Okay, how about CCM, contemporary Christian music? What about some of those words? That's where this line about it becomes a little more confusing, a little more blurry, because there's maybe truth mixed in it and untruth. Here's the song, the lyrics, the song, it's called Harmony. The title of the song is Harmony. Harmony, all God's children one. Harmony, like the Father and the Son. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your life. I just closed my eyes in harmony tonight. From the manger where he lay to the garden where he prayed, I often heard about the stranger. I opened my heart and he walked into my life. And I think there's one more line here in the next page. I opened up my heart and he walked into my life. Now we're not strangers anymore. That's blurry. That's confusing. So this is telling me, this stranger is telling me, all that I have to do is open my heart. And Jesus walks right in. And now we're not strangers anymore. But if we use this plumb line of the Bible, that is not how we receive Jesus. How we receive Jesus is we repent. And we confess our sins. And we weep over our sins. And we are sorry for this sinful past that we live. And we open our life and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and cleanse these sins away. And come and live in my heart. And that is how salvation works. It's not just, I open my heart, Jesus walks in, now we're not strangers anymore. It's the voice of confusion, the voice that is blurry. That's contemporary Christian music. Now, I'm going to step a little farther out on this limb here today. We might say, well, we don't listen to contemporary music, but we have a song. I'm just going to use one song as an example that we have sung in this room already, and we've sung it a number of times, and we kind of like it. But as we start drilling down into the words and start thinking about it, maybe the stranger is trying to talk to us just a little bit. And I'm not going to say this song is here or there. Yes, I will. But I'll let you afterward today, you can discuss this song. And it's the song, Love Will Bring Us All Together. Let me read the words. All things work together for good when God's love is understood. God is good and everything he does is right. Up to now, this is yes. Amen. Everything God does is right. He is good. Goes on here. Springtime flowers wilt and fade, but the memories they made are a ray of sunshine in the darkest night. It's like, okay, what is that? I'm not quite tracking with it. Verse 2. Light comes shining out of the past, truth revealing love at last. There's a love that leads beyond the great divide. You know, what's happening here is it sounds good, but is this biblical? Does it line up? I mean, the block is a little closer to the plumb line. It's a little hard to see daylight between them. Joy and laughter, pain and tears, love is calling through the years. Love will bring us safely to the other side. Is that true? Is it love that will bring us safely to the other side? Is that scriptural? Well, I'm just asking questions. Long ago when life was young, love already had begun. Memories of a time when roses were in bloom. Time so swiftly passed us flies. Autumn comes and summer dies. Love will bring us all together very soon. Really? It's going to be love that is going to bring us all together very soon. What is love? What is love? Love means something different to different people. Hear the music in the air. God is love and everywhere. Yes, that's true. God is everywhere. And God is love. Walk in love and you will join God's happy band. Oh. So the way to join God's happy band is just to walk in love. Is that what it's saying? Earthly things will lose their tune. If we walk in love, earthly things will lose their tune. For they fade away so soon. Love will bring us all together with a song. Now, so love will bring us all together with a song. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm asking the question, how close to the plumb line does that come when it becomes a blur? These are voices as an example. I'm going to leave this song up to you. The chorus goes there. It's a love that's calling from the other side. As we stand and gaze across the great divine, God our Father loves us all. Hear his tender, loving call. Love will bring us all together by and by. God's going to love us all, and he's just going to bring us all back together again. Now, I don't know who the us is. Is that the believers, the unbelievers? It's just God is going to, God is calling from the other side, and then God's love will bring us all together. I'm using this simply as an example. I'm not necessarily tearing the song apart and saying we'll never sing it again. I'm using it as an example. What are the voices that you are hearing? The songs that you put in your CD players and even the songs that you might sing, that we might sing, those are voices to you. They are talking to you and they are giving you a message. What are you hearing? Ephesians 5:19 and 20, it says, speaking to yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Was this a spiritual song? I'm not sure. Singing and making melody in your hearts. Giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's example of singing of music here. Okay, the second thing that comes in from the outside that affects us, maybe not affects all of us. I just want to throw it out as a warning. This is happening. Podcasts. Let me say this. We live in a digital age, and the way we consume things are different than what we did 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, or 20 years ago. Podcasts are here. They're not going away, and it's becoming more and more popular. What is a podcast? A podcast is a digital audio program that you can stream or download to listen to on demand. It might be similar to the sermons we put on our website, but podcasts are usually on a regular basis. Somebody puts out another message and puts out another message. It can be on any topic, not just spiritual topics. It can be on any topic. It can be on medical things. It can be on mechanical things. It can be on politics. It can be probably anything that you can imagine. There are approximately 4.4 billion podcasts available worldwide. Take your choice. But these are voices that are coming into our homes and into your hearts. Podcasts are a dangerous avenue for the stranger to speak right directly into your heart and fill your mind, especially spiritual podcasts, and you don't know who this person is. We would never allow these men and women to stand behind our pulpits. But somehow, when it's in the privacy of the earbud, it seems that we're okay with it. I'm just throwing out a warning to be aware what the stranger is saying into your earbud as you go through your day and you throw out another podcast. They're available everywhere. Not all podcasts are evil. There's some good podcasts. I know there are. I listened to one recently, just this past week, just to figure out, okay, I heard about this man. What does he say? And what he said in that particular podcast would be 100%. I said amen all the way through. But there's other things about that man that I don't agree with. So how do we deal with that? I'm just throwing out the warning. We live in a digital age. We need to be careful with what we are listening to. And we need to be careful who preaches to us. It's going to affect us. It's going to change who we are. Even if there's little things in there that we don't agree with, as I don't agree with that. But that voice still has talked to you. It still has talked to you. Now you have to wrestle through that. We don't do that here in this pulpit. We are careful to have a pure pulpit that we don't have to sort through, well, is this person saying the truth or is he not saying the truth? Turn to 1 John 4, verse 1 through 6. And I see time is going out of hand here. 1 John 4, verse 1 through 6. And it calls it spirits here. Now, we can think about it if it would say voices. Beloved, believe not every spirit. How about if we say, beloved, believe not every voice. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This fits this podcast thing to the T. There are many false voices out in the world. Hereby ye know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of errors. Giving us a little bit of guidelines here. But I'm just going to put it out there. Be careful. Be aware of podcasts. They are voices that are coming into our digital age. The next thing we want to look at is digital media. I kind of painted that with a broad brush. We're going to look at various things and make some comments here. Digital media include maybe Cloudvale groups, Telegram groups. You have groups of people that come together. Many of these can even be conservative Anabaptists. And yet, some of the things that some people are posting do not align with the Word of God. They don't. There are Anabaptist women preachers on those groups, and they have men that are following them. According to the Word of God, that is not right, that we would not have women teaching men. Yet digitally, it seems acceptable. Does it? Is that right? Is that okay? Is it okay for us to listen to women that are preaching and teaching? And these are some that can claim to be Anabaptist people. It's happening. It's happening all. I'm throwing out a warning and a carefulness. Be aware what's going on there. Under digital media, the second thing is the internet. I recently read a quote online by Abraham Lincoln. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln was not. Back in, there was no internet in Abraham Lincoln's day. I just read something that is unbelievable. But those are things that are happening out there that maybe are not so just blatant in your face as a joke. There are things on the internet that are straight up untrue. Yet we believe them. We believe them. These are voices that are filling us. And then we make life decisions based on that untruth that we just read. And it could be things that have to do with your health. It could be things that have to do about your finances. It could be many myriad of things there that is influencing us. And yet this thing that we just read is straight up untrue. It's not true. Be careful. Anybody can post anything on there that wants to. YouTube and similar platforms, those are also voices of strangers. There are many good instructional videos on YouTube. I have used YouTube to fix a car and to do various things. There's many good things on there. But there are many, many more evil things on there that straight out defiles you. Be careful. Be careful with that. I would suggest to fathers, know exactly what your young men and women are watching on YouTube. Do that, please, for their sake. Because this voice of the stranger comes in and he defiles and he takes you down a dark tube that you cannot return back out of except by the grace of God and the love of Jesus. Be careful about those in those video type platforms that are out there instructing. Here's another one under digital media, news. Now this comes really close home, really close home. It happened to me very recently. There was a man, I would call him a brother. He recently told me of some breaking news he got on his phone that morning. He had something apparently set up on his phone. He got breaking news. But he didn't know this was a conspiracy theory that was floating around for the last 12 years, straight up untrue. And he believed it. He was completely sure this is true. He fell for it. This is breaking news. It just happened this morning. No, it didn't. It happened back in 2012. And he believed it. Yet we believe those things. Be careful about what the news media is feeding you. And if it's a struggle, just ditch news media. I purposed to do that here a while ago, and I'm slipping again. I will purpose again. Just ditch the news media. I don't need the news media. The news media is biased. They will tell you exactly what you want to hear. If you want a conservative news media, you go over to this source. If you want a liberal viewpoint, you go over to this source. And whatever your heart is bent toward, that's where you will go to. Well, what kind of plumb line is that? If I want to build the wall this way, you know, I want to put the bricks, you know, like this. Well, I just put the string this way. What kind of plumb line is that? What kind of news is that? Be careful. Be careful with what you are consuming, what I consume in news. These are strangers that are straight out liars. Why would we listen to a liar? Why would we do that? It is defiling our hearts and our minds. Is what you read yesterday or whenever on the news media, is that true? How do you know? I don't know, and so I just decide I'm not going to go there. Be careful with news. Even text messages. We think, well, text, I don't do internet, I don't do YouTube, I don't do news, I don't do Cloud Veil. But what about text messages? Even text messages, these text messages that come around, this certain thing, this, that, and the other thing has been coming around for the last 10 years already, just recycling, and it is not true. Be careful, even with simple things as text message. Digital media is the voice of a stranger that wants to take us down a road that we don't want to go there. Jesus said this way, Matthew 7, 20 to 23, that which cometh out of man, that defileth man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. I would say all these evil things you can find on the internet or on any form of digital media any day. You can. Be careful. Here's another one that comes from without. Shopping. Now, we would say, well, what's wrong with shopping? But this is an area that we might have considered the voice of a stranger. The stranger, we are living in such a materialistic world, in such a carnal world, that the stranger tells us, you have to have these things. You know, such and such has these things, and you have to have it. And you know what we can do with a push of several buttons? We have it. We have money, and it's right there, and we get it. Impulse buying is what it's called. The world loves that impulse buying, but it is a voice of a stranger. The stranger is forming our tastes and what we want, what we think we have to have. What does the plumb line say? We must go back to the plumb line with our shopping activity and our shopping behavior. Just because we have money, and just because it's available right there, does that say that we have to have it? The stranger says so. The world says so. It pushes it everywhere that you go. You see billboards. You see advertisements here. You open your phone or whatever, and there's another advertisement. The world wants to tell us that we have to have that because everybody else does. And it's the thing. We have to have it. It's the voice of a stranger. For, 1 John 2:15-17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away. All these things that we think we have to have are going to pass away. They are going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. I want to abide forever. I'm sure you all do. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he has. Shopping is a voice of a stranger. Yes, we have things we need to buy. And it's not wrong to go buy them. God created us in a world where we use money to buy things. And we have to pay things. But that can be a voice of a stranger. Here's another one that comes from without. It's your coworkers and your peers. Those among you can, they may have good intentions. Most of the time I would say, they do have good intentions. But beware that they don't subtly influence you in areas where actually you have conviction. Right now you have convictions, but this co-worker says, well, why do you do that? That's weird. You know, you're strange. And if we hear that voice of a stranger often enough, we start believing him and say, yeah, I am a little bit strange. I'm going to change. And where you once had a conviction, you now don't anymore because this voice was softly speaking. And that person probably meant no evil. It's just they're at a different place in their convictions than I am. And so they are stating and forcing their convictions almost on you. Well, we should flip this thing around and share our convictions with them and bring them back to a more conservative view in a way to say it. That is the voice of a stranger. Beware of your coworkers, your peers, your people that you meet, maybe at your workplaces, on your farms. They can be voices of strangers that hinder your Christian walk. Just be careful about that. I'll leave it at that. There's one more I want to bring out that comes from without, and that is our work. Simply working. Our work occupies most of our time and attention. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it can become the voice of a stranger. What are we listening to? Are we listening to the call of our work or the call of the shepherd? The Bible clearly teaches the value of working diligently. We want to do that. We should teach our children good work ethics. But if our work consumes all our life and attention, is it the voice of the stranger or the voice of the shepherd? Just something to think about. In conclusion, let's turn to, let's reread, and you might be still there, John 10, verse 1 through 5. We want to read these verses one more time in consideration of what we talked about. John 10, verse 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd's voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. He calleth his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. He leads them out to green pastures and still waters, Psalm 23. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd leads. The shepherd charts the course first. The shepherd goes there. When we follow the voice of a stranger, let's read on. And the voice of the stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. The Christian does not follow the voice of a stranger. The stranger does not lead. He just puts voices there. And we go on our own. That's what the stranger does. He pushes from behind. He just gives us a voices. He gives us commands. What are we doing? There's a song Voices are calling that want to steal your heart. They're backed by gold and silver and things of earthly art. They catch your ear. Does your soul desire a part? Who has control of your heart? Pleasures of this life around us now we see. Some will follow them and end up shamefully. Have you wished at times that these things for you might be? Who has control of your heart? And then it says, voices are calling, yes, calling, calling. Voices are calling, calling, calling. Will to the Lord you be true? It's a very thought-provoking song. Who are we listening to? Are we being subtly deceived into believing things that do not line up with Scripture? Are these voices crowding out the voices of God? Maybe some of these voices are not even wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. They're good things. But are they crowding out the voice of the shepherd? That we just don't hear the shepherd. You know, we got this little thing in our ear 3/4 of the day. When is the shepherd going to talk to us? When can the shepherd talk to us? Who are we listening to? I think I'll leave it at that. God bless you.